Hebrews chapter number 3 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 3. Been looking at the devil's devices and what he uses to trip up Christians. And we looked at pride. We kind of gave each one of these an unholy trinity, what causes these things to happen. With pride, there's self-dependence, self-righteousness, and self-promotion. Then we talked about rebellion. With rebellion, it's pretty much caused by the issues of control, sovereignty, and submission. Then we talked about fear for a couple weeks. Fear is caused by our focus being wrong, the cares of life, and the trials. Then we talked about last time on Thursday night that we spoke, we looked at immorality, which is based upon pleasure and sin, and the wrong habits, and the lack of sanctification. And tonight we're going to look at another device that the devil uses, one that most of us have to watch for and guard in our life, and that we probably don't realize is there when it is. So it's why we need to study the Scriptures and understand it. And what device we're going to look at tonight is this, the devil's use of a hard heart. And I encourage you tonight to write down some things. We're going to use the same outline, but I encourage you to jot these things down. Because a hard heart is one of those things that can happen in our life when we don't even realize it sometimes. And we will have a hard heart, and it isn't a matter of necessary, it will end in rebellion and all these other things, but it starts out so simple, just not being sensitive to the things of God. And in Hebrews chapter number 3, I'm going to read real quick most of the chapter. And we're going to start reading, and again, if you're able to, let's stand, please, as we read, since we're reading a large passage of Scripture here. And start reading there. It talks about in the first 6 verses about Moses and how God delivered them from Egypt and how God used them, etc., etc., and starts making some application. But we're going to start in verse number 6. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Think and be seated. We're warned about in this text at least 3 times about, in the whole context, is there in the entire chapter, warned about having a hard heart. And who's he speaking to about having a hard heart? We talk about many times lost people that have a hard heart, and they can have a hard heart. Matter of fact, all of us, before we got saved, we probably had a hard heart. We didn't want to hear the truth. We kept trying to put the truth off. But praise God for the day we got saved. Amen? But it is possible for a Christian, very possible. That's what this chapter is all about, to have a hard heart. Look at verse number 1. Who's he speaking to? This teaching on a hard heart. It says, wherefore, what's the next few words? Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He's talking to believers here. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's speaking of those who are on their way to heaven. I hope that that's everyone in this auditorium tonight. Are you on your way to heaven? Yeah. Amen. Well, the Bible says here that we have to be careful. We have to guard ourselves because we can have a hard heart. You say, well, that's just how he started. That's not what he's talking about. I've heard people say that. Well, right in the middle, look at verse number 12. Take heed. What's the next word? Brethren. Take heed, brethren. That's us. We've got to watch this. What is a hard heart? What are we talking about? In this chapter, he's using Moses as an illustration. Remember Moses when they left Egypt? Boy, what a day that was when they were redeemed out of Egypt. Amen? They left. Of course, that's the picture. When we got saved, God called us out of the world. Amen? And we left. And of course, the Red Sea's kind of a picture of baptism. We separated ourselves unto God. And we entered this life. And they wandered around the wilderness. But unfortunately, after all God had done for them, not just the plagues, not just the Exodus, not just the waters parting there at the Red Sea, not just that, but the feeding of the manna daily. God sent meat to them when they cried out for it. God gave them water out of a rock. They found some bitter water one time, and they were able to cast a tree into it, and it was made sweet again. I mean, all these things that God had done, even their shoes didn't wear out. I mean, this is amazing what our God was doing. Yet we know what happened, don't we? They said, oh, we wish we were back in Egypt. We wish we had the onions and the garlic and all that stuff back there. What happened? And he talks about it. Even seeing the miracles of God, their hearts were hardened. They got upset. They got mad at God. They began to have this in their life. The three things, I think, that make up a hard heart. We've given this for all these points. The three things that will lead us for a hard heart are these three things. Number one, sin, unbelief, and here's the big one for us, brethren, complacency. Sin, unbelief, and complacency. Now, I know I can't really necessarily take you to an exact scripture that says this, but you can see it going on. Israel was excited when they left Egypt. They were joyful. I mean, they but it didn't take long until they got upset, did it? When they crossed the Red Sea, you got a whole chapter in the book of Exodus where they sang his praises. But it just takes the next chapter over when they're complaining at God. It's very quick that a hard heart can set in. Matter of fact, hear me on this. You can sit in this service and rejoice in God and have a hard heart before you go to bed tonight. That quickly. That's why we have to take heed, as the writer says. Take heed about these things. Watch ourselves. We must not allow a hard heart. Well, let's look at it, same outline. Number one, what are the companions of a hard heart? Now, I'm going to go quickly because I've learned my lesson in teaching through these things. And I simplified this in this way. The companions, let me define what a hard heart is. To harden, if you want to write this definition down under this point, to harden means to dry up, to become hard, stiff, and stubborn. To dry up, to become hard, stiff, and stubborn. I think you can put a verse next to that, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, which talks about a seared conscience, which in many ways I think is the same thing. But not just towards sin. Sometimes we think of that seared conscience just towards sin. It's to the good things too. There used to be a day when you first got saved that you loved singing the songs of God. But then it becomes complacent. There used to be a day when you found out that a soul got saved. You rejoiced, man, you were excited. But you've heard it now 100 times. You hear about a man who got his life right with God last night and he was about to go and take his own life, but God sent him to the right place, and praise God, there was someone there who would teach him the truth and would help save that person from destruction. There was a day that was you, and God brought you out of that, and every time you heard that story, a tear would got in your eye because you loved hearing that, how God can save anybody. But then we get used to it. We hear so many things, we become no longer sensitive to God, no longer sensitive to sin, no longer sensitive to others' needs, no longer sensitive to lost souls. And what happens is our life becomes we lose the joy. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. And the picture here with Israel, and if I can just throw these points at you under the companions, all right? Because it gives Israel as a picture, and I'm not going to go back and look all through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and show these things. But because I think we, this group here that's here tonight, we understand what all took place when they were wandering through the wilderness there. And what happened is this, I'll just get these points. They got used to God's presence. Did they not? I mean, there it was. Can you imagine every day being led by that pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire at night, and the Shekinah glory of God upon that tabernacle? I mean, if that came down upon us tonight, we'd all be in awe tonight. I mean, we'd all be sitting there saying, wow, this is amazing. Can you imagine God leading us tomorrow? I mean, the very present right there of God. I mean, I'm sure that was just amazing. As they crossed that sea, I meant, wow, look at this. Well, it was the same thing a year from then. And they were complaining. Where's God? Right there. They got used to it. They got used to God's presence. They got used to His provisions, didn't they? Every morning they woke up and there was manna. And boy, it was great when it first came. I mean, hey, they were rejoicing. But it doesn't take long, does it? Well, I don't know why we have to eat this bread all the time. We have to eat this manna all the time. Why can't we have meat? They forgot God's provision. I mean, God just opened up the Red Sea and they walked on dry land and all their enemies were destroyed. I mean, God provided a way. And then a chapter later, they said, well, we're going to die of thirst. And a lot of times we look at their story and we think, wow, they were pretty, some weak people. We are the same way so many times. When we first got saved, we are so thankful for that God is with us. Isn't that great? Will you stop and think about that? Did God say He'll never leave us or forsake us? Amen? Did you realize, folks, Jordan Wilson sitting back there, God is with him. That's amazing. And no matter where he goes tomorrow, God's presence is with him. That's awesome. We just take it for granted. Did you realize? Look around and say, oh, I've got some bills. Yeah, we all do. But isn't it amazing that God, how he takes care of us? Look back in our lives how many times that we've faced giant mountains and God came through. And when the next one comes, how quickly we forget. We get used to it. Our heart becomes hardened. They got used to God's protection. They got used to, you know, I mean, God did amazing things to protect His people in that wilderness. But they got used to it. They got hardened towards it. The power of God. We don't have time to go through all these books, but I think we know the stories enough. I mean, God showed His power mightily. Remember standing there at Mount Sinai? I mean, just the power of God, the thunder and the lightning. And what God did, He opened up the ground and swallowed up Korah and his evil followers. I mean, God showed Himself. It doesn't take long to forget it. It doesn't take long to get used to it. They got used to, by the way, they got used to God's preacher too. I mean, at one time, I mean, can you imagine Moses tell them, cross the Red Sea, all's good. Moses tells them, God's going to provide, makes the water sweet. Moses says, they'll stay here. How long did it take till they forgot him? We can get used, and I say we, all right? I'm not talking about God's preacher, you're used to me, all right? We get used to hearing the Word of God preached to us. All of us. And our hearts can get hardened. And we can talk about the companions, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here because I want to go through scriptures and see all the characteristics. But folks, hear me on this. One great danger that we have as a Gazzetta Baptist Temple, and if I could say, and I can, I guess because God's placed me as pastor, right? So it's my job to say these things. If there's one flaw and one great temptation that our church has, is this, that we get used to what we've got. I mean, there's a lot of churches that are out there going to be preaching false things this weekend. There's going to be churches who just heard another one talking to a church member before church, another place that will stand for truth for so long, and they've switched their Bibles now. Our church still stands for the truth. But isn't it sad how we just take it for granted? Isn't it sad how that truth being preached so many times and we just kind of drift off during the preaching? Or when Brother Schwartz or someone gets up to teach Sunday school, our minds begin to, we kind of just tune it out and think about other things. We're blessed to have what we have here. To hear the truth being preached. Sometimes we just get hardened towards it. What are the characteristics? Number two, what are the characteristics? And we're going to go straight through, all right? And I put these in order so it'll be quicker to go through. Go back in Exodus. We're going to come back to Hebrews later. But way back in Exodus, I looked up, there are 42 times in the Bible when a hard heart is talked about. I've summarized it into these points. We don't have 42, so don't worry. Many of them repeat the same thing. But I summarized it into these points. And I want us to look, we're going to examine, I believe, in my studies, every time a hard heart is mentioned and what characteristics are associated with it. In Exodus chapter 4, we're going to cruise through this quickly. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 21. Again, please jot these down. Study these on your own. Look for these things in our life. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21, there's many references here. Obviously, when you think of a hard heart and you think of the Bible, one of the first persons you're going to think of is Pharaoh. The Bible says repeatedly that God hardened his heart. And in Exodus chapter 4, we have the first time in verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return in Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Number one, the first thing that's characterized with a hard heart is disobedience to God. When a heart is hardened, we begin to disobey. And that's, I don't necessarily think, you say, no, this is a flaw. This message, listen, church, this is so important, this message. This message is drastic for our church, alright? Because we're blessed in so many ways, and we can get used to these things. I can, you can, we all can. I do not think that this is the highlighted point for Gazette Baptist Temple. I believe our folks have a heart to serve God, and we want to do right. But I'm just saying that if we let all these other things go, we'll end up changing our Bible too. We'll end up dropping our standards and changing our name. We'll end up doing these things too if we don't take heed to a hard heart. It will always end in disobedience to God. There are so many other references there, but Pharaoh said no. God said, let my people go. No! You can sit through a message and hear something preached on, maybe something that's involved in our life that we need to get right. And we'll hear it taught from the Scripture, shown from the Scripture, and folks will still sit there, will they not? Because we've all been there. And we'll look at it and say, no. It's a hard heart. We will disobey. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 22. Exodus 7 and verse number 22, a few pages over. It says, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. I see this about having a hard heart, that you'll miss wise counsel. You'll miss wise counsel. The Bible says here that Pharaoh would not hearken unto them. Aaron and Moses, they explained it. They said, Pharaoh, you need to hear this. Pharaoh, you need to let God's people go. But there were the magicians and the others who said, well, you don't have to listen. Look what we can do, too. And he missed wise counsel. Because out of Baptist Temple, hear me. Our hearts can become hardened. And the truth can be being preached. And we dismiss it. I know this is an issue for our church. Because I can't tell you how many people have come in the last 5 years and have said things like, I have a problem. I don't see things and they'll explain something that was just preached upon. Or that was just taught. And they were sitting there. But they'll look and say, I think you're wrong in this in my study. And I'll say, did you hear the message? Do you preach on that? Well, we just talked about that. Really? Was I there? Yeah. I mean, not long ago, I had a church member, that's been in the church for many, many years, and came up to me and said, I was just reading, and I saw there in Mark that in order to be saved, you have to believe and be baptized. Do we have to be baptized in order to go to heaven? What? Now, I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm glad they asked, and I'm glad we can show them. But you might should have caught on to that in the last 22 years. It's been talked about. But listen, that's not that. You say, well, that you telling that person they're wrong. We all do this. We hear it so much that we sit there and then when it happens to us, we stop and think when we're actually confronted with it, we think, I think someone spoke of that, but I'm not sure what to tell them. Listen, we need this counsel. We need the preaching of God's Word. We need this in Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 7. Another characteristic, Exodus 9. A few pages over, verse number 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. You know what he did? Remember the cattle disease came? He went over and saw Israel. None of their cattle died, and his heart got very hard. And I drew this point out of this, and I don't think it's wrong. I believe it's in context. His heart got hard because other people were blessed. And when we have a hard heart, sometimes we get upset when other people are blessed and we don't think we're getting our fair share. If you want an example of that, meet Carl from last night. He was mad at God because he was not a bad person. And other people seem to be blessed. Why was he going through a hard time? Our heart gets hardened. And we'll get upset when we see other people being blessed. And we'll say, well, why isn't God blessing me? It's a hard heart. I don't have time to expound on all these things, but I hope you will yourself. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 17. In Exodus 14 and in verse number 17. A hard heart will also will blindly be led to destruction. When we have a hard heart, we become blinded and we'll end up in destruction and we won't even see it coming. In Exodus chapter 14 and in verse number 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Now what's going on in that chapter? The Red Sea was going to be divided, and God said, don't worry, I'm going to harden his heart. And when his heart becomes hardened, he will follow along and ignore the danger. He'll ignore the power. He'll ignore all the word. And he'll just go on to his own destruction. And the applications for us, folks, when our heart becomes hardened, this is why this message is so important. We won't even realize it. And we'll be blindly going towards destruction, and we won't see it coming. Say, have you seen that? Over and over again. Christians who at one time were just sold out to God, and we get used to all the blessings of God. We our hearts become hardened, and pretty soon our life is just destroyed. Blind led to destruction. A few books over, Deuteronomy chapter number 2 is the next time you'll find a hardened heart. In Deuteronomy chapter number 2, Israel's traveling through the wilderness. They come up on another group of people. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 2 and verse number 30 about Sihon, king of Heshbon. It says, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver into thy hand as it appeareth this day. Another thing that happens is this king, you know what happened? Israel came and said, can we pass through your land? He said, no, you can't pass through my land. And the Bible says his heart became hard. And obstinate. You know what happened? He ended up thinking, I can whip Israel. I think y'all know how that story ends. He didn't whip Israel. But listen, when our heart becomes hardened, hear me, we will become overconfident in ourselves. When our heart's hard, we're starting to think what's happening is this. We're starting to think that I'm good. God says, hey, I want to speak to you tonight. I'm good. Did you know God has something for every one of us tonight from His Word? Because the Word's being open. So God has something, but there are some who will come into service and say, well, I know it's being preached, but I'm good, God. My life's okay. I don't see anything bad happening. And our mind goes 101 different directions and we don't want to listen. We're overconfident in ourselves. That always leads to destruction. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 7. Another thing that will happen when our hearts become hard, Deuteronomy 15:7, we'll become insensitive to others. Deuteronomy 15 and verse number 7 says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him. You know what happens when our heart becomes hard? We become insensitive to the needs of other people. When our hearts are hardened, church, again, this is Cazano Baptist. This is us. I'm not saying we're evil and we're wrong, but this is the great temptation. I don't think we're near changing our Bibles. I don't think we're really near voting and changing our church standards. I don't think we're near taking up a church vote and deciding to change our doctrine. I don't think we're near those things. I think we got a good, solid church, a very mature church. Here's where the devil's going to try to get our church. Right here. This is what it is. All right? Will immorality pop its head up sometimes in people's lives? Yes. Will rebellion at times? Yes. Pride? Yes. These things will happen? Yes. But this is right. This is it. And what happens is this. We become insensitive to other people's needs. I could talk about this forever. We'll start with lost souls. I mean, Brother Roberts, about a year and a half, came down and did some work in the fellowship hall. Remember that first night you were here? Painting and doing all that work over there? We had visitation that night. We had 47 people in visitation that night. We had 3 Saturday. Well, what happens? So I got this. I know everybody's schedules. I know. And I know we can do what we have to do. And I know some people can't. And it don't have to be on a Saturday. But who have you talked to this week? Or have we become insensitive that those people are lost? I know this is a hard sermon. It is. It's hard to sit through and it's hard to preach. Believe me. But this is our issue. This is our issue. We become insensitive to other people's needs. We pass by people. We hear about other people. We hear about what sin does to them. And we think, yeah, that's what sin does. It's true, but let's not forget that God left us here to try to help people like that. Or we become insensitive. If we have, it's a hard heart. You've got to keep going. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Going right through 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 12. Second Chronicles 36, 12 says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord." In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 13, "And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and all..." Listen to this. "Moreover," because he hardened his heart. "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. According to the scriptures here," because that Baptist temple, one person's heart, which becomes hardened, can pollute the entire house of God. If we decide as a member of this church, well, my heart's hardened and I won't do nothing about it, it's not just affecting you. It's affecting this entire body. And I don't say it to say, you need to do this. No, no, no. Like Brother Robert said, this is for us to all look into a mirror. Not to look around and say, yes, Alex Burke has a hard heart, he's ruining our church. No, the only point in making this point is this, that I, Travis Burke, need to look in the mirror and say, do I have a hard heart? Am I affecting my church in a negative or positive way? And you got to love God and your church enough to want to be right. So we look in a mirror, because it will affect things. See, how will it affect things? Someone comes and sits in the back row visiting for the first time, and a pew's to his right and to his left and in front of him. No one sings. When the preaching goes on, they got a phone out and they're playing on the phone. Well, whenever the preacher's giving an invitation, they're putting their coat on and getting their Bible packed away. You're speaking volumes to people around you. Your hard heart is distracting other people. Got to keep going. It will affect the entire church. We'll skip a few. Job. Book of Job, chapter number 9. Job, chapter number 9. Verse number 4. Job, chapter 9, and in verse number 4. It says, Job 9, 4, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength." But there's a contrast here. Job 9, 4. "Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered?" Job makes a good point. You know what Job says? Who's hardened their heart? Now listen, and has ever prospered from it. You know, another thing, when we harden our heart, the characteristic, it will rob us of the blessings of God. Who has hardened their hearts and prospered? Did you know God wants every one of us to leave tonight saying, "Woo, God spoke to me, and I learned something from the Word of God tonight." That's how God wants every one of us. Because His Word's being open, He wants us to grow. And we don't have to do, you know, somersault out the door to show our excitement. But not one of us should leave tonight saying, God did not speak to me. He is speaking. If we didn't hear it, it's because our hearts become hardened and we'll miss a blessing. When a soul gets saved, everyone ought to rejoice. They rejoice in heaven. If we don't rejoice, that person still got saved. That person's still on their way to heaven. That person's life still changed, turned around. But if you're not rejoicing, you're the one that missed the blessing. When our life gets right with God, if you sit there with your arms folded and say, well, yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, someone got right with God. You're the one missing the blessing. God wants to thrill your heart tonight. It ought to have been worth coming just to hear about that man who was going to take his own life. But God saved him out of the gutter last night. That ought to thrill our hearts. Or we'd sit there and say, oh, yeah, yeah. I guarantee some people say, well, you're Bruce Lee's just trying to promote hope and make these stories up. I guarantee people think those things. Because our heart becomes hardened. You're missing a blessing. Get a blessing. Another thing in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Everybody still with me? Nod your head. Amen. All right, good. Proverbs chapter 28. I'm trying not to make no one mad. Sometimes the scriptures are, they step on our toes. All right. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse number 14. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Another characteristic of a hard heart is mischief. When our heart becomes hardened, listen, we just get in trouble. Trouble seems to find us when our heart is hardened. Well, you know, the preacher's after me. Preacher's always preaching against me. How did he know about this? What is my life? Why did this happen? Why does this happen? We begin to whine and complain from all the mischief that follows our life. And the realization is this. We harden our heart. The Bible says we will fall into mischief. We'll keep going in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. Making our way straight through. Isaiah 63. Now, there are a few other times to find a hardened heart, but I believe these are repeating different points. Isn't it amazing what all the Bible talks about? You start looking at these things. A hard heart. Isaiah 63 and in verse number 17. Isaiah 63:17 says, O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. A hard heart in this verse in Isaiah 63:17 will lead us to a lack of fear. And by that I mean fear of God. And understand, fear of God does not mean we hide under pews because we're afraid God will strike us. It's a holy reverence. A lot of Christians today have lost their reverence for God. They'll use His name lightly. They'll just throw it around. They take their Bible and they throw it on a shelf Sunday night and pick it back up next Sunday morning. We take God lightly. The reason is because we have a hard heart. Daniel chapter number 5 and verse number 20. Daniel chapter number 5, a few more pages over. Another characteristic of a hard heart. Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 20. Then we'll go to the New Testament. But Daniel 5 and verse number 20 says, Daniel 5:20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. Pride is always associated with a hard heart. If our heart has become hardened, we are filled with pride. We need to get it right. Another thing, turn over to Matthew. And I'll try not to spend a long time here. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19. Now look at this verse real quick. This is an important verse. Matthew 19. And in verse number 7, Matthew 19 and verse number 7, we'll back up just a little bit. Verse number 5, Matthew 19, 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. Verse 7, but they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Verse number 8, God did not say, because I changed my mind and I decided it's okay. Amen. That's not what he said. Verse 8, he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. I don't want to spend a lot of time here trying my best not to, but church, if we allow our hearts to stay hardened, we will compromise on truth. It's inevitable. You cannot argue with me that it is God's intention that a husband and wife stay married. That's what God wants. Whoever you're looking at as your spouse tonight, God wants you to stay with them and to be married. And whatever problems arise, you need to work them out. You say, well, I think God, Moses gave a bill of divorcement so we can get divorced. And people want to talk all about all the clauses and exceptions and et cetera. But the bottom line is this. The only reason Moses did it is because people's hearts were hardened. It's the only reason he gave it. And a hardened heart will always lead us to compromise on what we know is right. You say, well, we're not going to compromise. If you sit through the services, now listen, if you sit through the last 6 months of services and God's never moved your heart enough to kneel a knee, your heart's hardened. If you sit through the last 6 months and you haven't had to go home and do some soul searching, your heart's hardened. Amen. You say, are you trying to lift up your preaching? No, forget me. The Word of God should speak to us. And if it hasn't, it's not because God quit speaking. He will always do what He said He'd do. Our heart's hard. And if we allow it to continue, you say, well, it's not affecting anything. Well, number one, we've just lucked a lot of things so far that it is affecting. But I promise you this, if we as a church don't deal with it, we will compromise. Churches that believe the same thing we do, for years stood for truth, say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Hard hearts. Just crept in. And you eventually will compromise. In Mark chapter number 3, turn over there. Mark chapter number 3. And in verse number 4. Mark 3 and verse number 4. Look what it says here in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 4. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Look at verse 4. But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Now we're going to stop there because there's the point. The point is this, because of their hard heart, they did not respond to the voice of God. The Lord spoke, amen? But the Bible says they held their peace. And the Lord looked around and saw their silence and was upset because their hearts had grown hardened. I say this is what we as a church have to watch out for. We have so much truth being preached from Brother Slee and Brother Carr and guest preachers who come in and I do my best to preach the truth. And anyone who stands behind this pulpit, we want the truth being preached, that we get so used to things that God's voice is speaking, but we're silent. And we just sit there. And God is grieved. Because He's speaking. We're holding our peace. We are silent because our hearts are hardened. We'll not respond to the voice of the Lord. Again, I just want to say it one more time. I know. I'm not one of those people. You know, someone says, how'd the service go? I don't ever say, well, there were 10 people at the altar. To me, you can make a decision in your seat as much as you can here. And I don't judge a service by that. But I will say this. If you haven't moved in a year, something's not right. If you haven't had God tug on your heart, something's not right. Where at one time you used to sit there and amen and praise God. But now you can't even grunt when the Word of God's preached. Our hearts become hard. And God looks and He hears and He sees the silence. And He's grieved at this. Another thing in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 52. We're about through. Mark chapter 6, this point. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 52. I tried to find a verse where a hard heart complains the service is too long, but I couldn't find one. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 52. It says this, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Just real quick, when our hearts are hard, we miss miracles. We miss miracles. I mean, I could tell you miracles of God that have happened within our church. I mean, just absolute miracles. When the doctor said, "It should have been there, but it's not there," and God's people have been praying. Hard hearts sit there and say, "Well, they probably just took a wrong picture." Soft heart says, "Glory to God. God is good." The miracle of a soul being saved. The miracle of a family being salvaged. The miracle of a relationship being restored. The miracle of an addiction being broken. The miracle of one who was sitting months ago in a prison cell, who are sitting in the house of God. Those are things that thrill our heart every day. Those are miracles of God, because man can't do those things, but God can. And when it happens, if we sit there and fold our arms in church and say, "I just wish He'd close in prayer," our heart's hard. When we're sitting here trying to think of what we're going to eat before we go to bed, our heart is hard. But when we're rejoicing in these things, God's got a hold of our heart. We'll miss the miracles of God when our heart's hard. In Mark chapter number 8, verse number 15. Mark chapter 8, verse number 15. I'm going to start reading. It says, "And He charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, Why reason ye because we have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, and do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They said to him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And He said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" Another reason, when our hearts are hardened, we just won't understand teaching anymore. The Lord said, "You have ears, you have eyes, you ought to be able to understand what I'm teaching." But they didn't, because their hearts were hardened. At one time when we first got saved, I mean, it don't matter what was opened up, it was in the Scriptures. We were looking, we were listening, we were getting it. And I mean, we were growing. And then we sent to church, and you ever heard somebody say this? "I'm just not getting fed anymore." We've all heard people say that, right? I tell you the realization. Now, I'm sure there are instances, probably when someone's gotten off track and it is, you know, whatever, but 99.9% of the time when you hear that statement, it's someone's got a hard heart. And you're right, they're not getting it. Because they're not listening. Because their heart has become hardened. In Mark chapter 16, look over there real quick. Mark 16, and in verse number 14. Just one more after this. Mark 16, verse number 14. "Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen." The Lord rebuked them for the hard hearts. You know why? Because there's a couple of disciples that came in, a couple of women that said, "Hey, He's risen! And glory to God, He's not in the grave anymore!" And these other ones said, "Yeah, whatever." No! The tomb's empty! He's not there! Yeah, right. When we have a hard heart, we lose our joy. There were some rejoicing, weren't they? But those with a hard heart just couldn't find a reason to smile. I'm worried about some people because you lost your smile. So a lot of things are going on. Yeah, me too. But God's still on the throne. And He's still God. And He's still speaking. And souls are still being saved. And lives are still being put back together. Guess what? You say, "Well, I don't see it." Because your heart's hard. If you just listen and open your eyes, you might get some joy back. Ask God to soften your heart. Romans chapter number 2. I'm going to neglect if I didn't mention this point. Romans chapter number 2. When it comes to salvation, folks, don't harden your heart tonight. If you're not saved tonight, don't harden your heart to the gospel. Romans chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God?" Folks, if you're lost tonight and you're not saved, don't harden your heart to the gospel. Jesus Christ loved you. He came to this world and he died for your sins. He took our place and paid for the penalty of sin upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross, he was buried, but praise God, he rose again. He showed himself that he paid for our sin, and he is more powerful than death and hell and the grave. And he arose, and today he says, "Salvation, if you will believe in what I have done for you, and know that you are a sinner, but I died for your sins, and believe what I've done, you can be saved too." If you're lost tonight, don't leave tonight saying, "Yeah, whatever." Your hard heart will store up wrath to the day of judgment. But you can get right tonight. We look at number 3, and these are quick. In Hebrews chapter 3, this is closing. Hebrews chapter number 3, go back to where we started. We talked about the companions and the characteristics. These are quick points. The causes. Roman number 3, the causes. What are the causes of a hard heart? And I think we find them because this chapter is all about a hard heart. And we end where we started. But in verse number 8 and 9, one cause of a hard heart is rebellion. It says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation and wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They knew God, but they wanted to do otherwise. They heard his voice, but they wanted to disobey." Rebellion will lead towards a hard heart. If there's something in your life tonight that God wants you to get right, but you say no to God, you're beginning and cementing a hard heart. Don't allow rebellion. Verse number 10, a second cause for a hard heart is careless ignorance. Look at verse 10. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Now that's kind of interesting, because God had just met with them on a mountain and told all those people his ways. He had a man who told them daily the ways of God. It's collected for us in what we've called the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, which they all knew. They all were supposed to memorize. Yet it says here in the Scriptures, they didn't know his ways. Look at me and we'll go on to the next point. Just because you're sitting in a church that teaches the truth, preaches the truth, and believes the truth, doesn't mean you know the truth. We can be carelessly ignorant. So what do you mean carelessly ignorant? We don't know because we're not trying to learn. So I said, get out a pen. Write these things down. Say, why? Lest we become carelessly ignorant. You know, someday if we stand before God and God says, "Why did you have that hard heart? I wanted to do so much." You say, "Well, I didn't know." Well, you can't now. Not because me, because the Bible was preached. And we looked at it. Carelessly ignorant. Verse number 12, another cause for a hard heart is just unbelief. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You know what causes us as brethren to have a hard heart? We just don't believe God. You hear me? If God said something, is it going to be true? Amen. If God said, "You come to him, he'll save you," does that mean he'll do that? Amen. You say, "Well, I just don't know if he did." Your unbelief is going to bring a hard heart in your life. Did God say you ought to be baptized after you get saved? Amen. You say, "Well, I just don't believe that's for me." Your unbelief will lead towards a hard heart. Did God say tithing and God will pour out the windows of heaven? Amen. Did you have God say that? "So I just don't believe God can." You're going to have a hard heart. Unbelief will result in a hard heart. You go on and on. Verse number 13. A fourth and last root cause, I believe, because you can kind of summarize in these 4 points, but in verse number 13, sin. It says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." If we have a sin in our life, it will lead towards a hard heart. You say, "Well, I think it's okay." It's because your hard heart's taking over your conscience. a hard heart. Which leads me to fourth point, what's the consequence? What's the consequence of a hard heart? What happens, preacher, if we allow a hard heart to continue? The answer to that is chapter 4. And I'm not going to take the time to read the chapter and go through the whole chapter. You probably are like me, and you've heard people quote chapter number 4 and people talking about either losing your salvation or people who thought they were saved and they knew the truth, but they didn't. They failed that and they didn't get saved. If you've been around God's people long enough, you've probably heard someone use this verse in that way. That's not what it's talking about. It has nothing to do with your salvation, chapter 4 doesn't. So how do you know? Because he just talked about all this teaching about Moses, and they did not enter into the rest, and because of the hardness of heart, verse 4, let us therefore. Well, what's the therefore, therefore? What's the context of this? Having a hard heart, brethren. Amen? So if we're looking for this hard heart, then chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I've heard people say, people knew the truth, but they just fell short of getting saved. Well, that might be some instance in someone's life, but that's not this verse. This verse, again, in case your theology is a little messed up, when they entered in and crossed the Jordan River and entered into the promised land, that is not a picture of salvation. The salvation took place when they left Egypt. And they were redeemed because of the act and the miracle of God. And then when they crossed the river and they entered there in the Canaan land, that is a picture of a victorious Christian life. It's not about dying and going to heaven when I cross that river and I enter the land of promise. It sounds good, but that's not the Bible, because when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be fighting giants. I'm not going to have enemies that I got to defeat when I get to heaven. It's all over then. Amen. Praise the Lord. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life, that we will still face giants, we will still have battles, but God is with us and we will win. Amen. If we trust Him. A lot of people, Israelites, didn't enter into that rest. Because of the hard heart. And you read the entire chapter on your own, but there's a lot of Christians, look at me, a lot of Christians who God wants them to have a life of resting in Him. A victorious life. A life of victory. A life that when the battles come, God's with you and you can win. Your family being close. Your marriage strong. That's the rest God wants you to have. A good church. Not all the gossip and the backbiting and the turning on each other. It's just enjoying the rest of God. Are there battles? Yes. Are there giants? Yeah, we got to beat them. But there's huge grapes that you carry around in the promised land. Right, Miss Wilson? There's great bounty serving God. It's a place that flows with milk and honey. God provides your needs. And God wants His children to have this rest. Not someday when you cross the river and you enter the promised land. Right now, Christian, God wants, let us therefore fear. Let us have a reverence of God. God wants us to have the rest right now. And if you don't, look at me, it's because of a heart of unbelief. It's because of a hardened heart. And a hard heart robs us of it. And you can end up living your entire life and dying, never entering into that rest. I'm not talking about heaven. You'll go to heaven if you're saved. But you'll never have that rest because of a hard heart. You say, well, how do I fix that? Well, that's the cure. And I know we've got to close. The cure, let's look back in chapter 3. I give you these points real quick. Number 1, hear the truth. Verse 13, exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. You know what that means? Tell people the truth. Hear it. Folks, when we're in church, listen as if God is speaking to you. When the preaching starts, say, all right, God, tell me what you want to tell me. I'm listening. Hear the truth. Verse number 14, hold the truth. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. See that? We have to hold it. Not talking salvation, is it? It's just talking about that rest, that joy, that confidence. Man, say, what is it talking about? This simply this, I know God's right. And whatever it says, that's what I'm going to do. Because I heard the truth, and I want to hold to the truth. Verse 15 and 16, heed the truth. God has said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Listen, heed the truth. So what's that verse talking about? 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. Who were those 2? Joshua and Caleb. Did they heed to the truth? Yes. Did they enter into the rest? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because they not only heard it. God is going to defeat them. This is your land. They heard it. But they believed it. Caleb, as an old man, said, let's go in. And I want the mountain. Because God said I could have it. Amen. He had confidence. And he heeded it. Everyone had said, we're going to get destroyed. These giants are going to kill us. And he said, no. God said it's ours, so it's ours. Heed it. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Honor the truth. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering to His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So what do you mean by honor? Do it. Don't fall short of this. Don't live a mediocre Christian life of struggling day by day when God wants you to have so much more. Don't allow a hard heart. Verse number 12 in this chapter, handle the truth. It's right here. Look at it. For the word of God is quick. Let's back up verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. I've heard people use that for work salvation. Isn't it amazing when you start studying context, how everything makes a whole lot more sense, right? You're not working to get to heaven. You're working to enjoy the rest that God wants you to have right now. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can I keep from having a hard heart? Let this book tear you up every day. Use this book. Handle it. Let it decide and discern your heart. Verse number 16, be helped by the truth. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Say, my heart is hard. Well, there's the answer. Go to God. Confess it to God and say, God, I don't want a hard heart anymore. God, make my heart tender. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.